Singing like that ought to give us just a taste of what heaven is going to be. It's wonderful to have each of you here tonight. We're glad each of you is here, but we're especially thankful for all of the Fried Hartman students, the new students that are here. We're not only glad that you're here tonight, we want you to know that we want you at every service you can attend and be involved in our work here in every way that you can. I think our elders do a good job in blending the work with the local people and reaching out to those who are on campus. And we just want you to know that you are welcome, that we are glad to have you. In a personal way, I'd like to say to you that Judy and I are always ready to help. We live in the house just back on the corner here. David and Kathy live across on this one over here. If you need anything except money, come to that house. If you need money, go to that house. David has a lot planned. Let me mention two things particularly. You that are students will want to know that there is a special class for you on Sunday morning that meets in our largest room over in the Activity Center. And on Wednesday night, we have two services, 5:45 and 7. The 5:45 service is conducted a lot like this one tonight. Class is at 7, and we just want you to find a place and be involved in our work. The other day, as I was riding along, I was listening to a song on the radio. The title of it, I think, is I Want to Be Bobby's Girl. That's the most important thing to me, this young lady says. And that's not what I'm talking about tonight. But in that song, just before she says, I want to be Bobby's girl, she says, people often say to me, what do you want to be now that I'm not a child anymore? That statement caught my attention as I was listening to that song. What do I want to be now that I'm not a child anymore? The lesson this evening is one I think that can help us all, but I want to especially dedicate it to all the young folks that are here tonight. Not only the Fried Hartman students, but our own teenagers and young folks in the congregation here. I want you to think about the word child. There is a real sense in which those of you who have come to begin your education at Fried Hartman are not a child anymore. And there are many ways in which our own teenagers, each one of them could say, I'm not a child anymore. The 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians are very deep in much of the teaching that's there, especially dealing with spiritual gifts. Naming them in chapter 12, talking about the abuses in chapter 13, and maybe talking about some restrictions or at least guidelines for their use in chapter 14. But right in this setting, where you remember the great 13th chapter that we talk about as the love chapter, there are two verses, one in the 13th chapter and one in the 14th chapter, to which I call our attention tonight. After having listened to Chad read a few minutes ago about the importance of young people in the eyes of Jesus, and how he said that we must be converted and become as little children in order to be in the kingdom of God, I have reference first to the 11th verse of the 13th chapter. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Then over in the 14th chapter at verse 20, he said, Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. But in understanding, be ye men. Now it appears to me that when we look at what is said in these two verses, that Paul is saying, as you grow up, there are some qualities that you've had all your life that you need to keep. And yet there are some qualities that you had when you were a child, maybe good ones then, at least to be expected, at least understandable, but now that you are growing up, you need to put away these. And he calls them childish things. If I were to ask you tonight, should we be childish when we are adults? I think you would say no. And I remember years ago, as a little boy, sitting and listening to a discussion between my grandfather and grandmother, where he looked over at her and said, "You're just acting childish." Of course, you've never heard that, you adults, have you? Childish things. But if I were to ask the question tonight, should you always be childlike? I think there are many ways in which you could answer yes. We've been in a series of lessons here for the last few weeks talking about growth. We've talked about physical growth. We've talked about evangelism, benevolence. We've talked about qualities of growth like faith and grace and knowledge and love. It just seems to me that we need to stop for a moment and think about growth as we think about this word child. We're not going to be in the kingdom of God unless we can become like a little child, Jesus said. He showed his love for the little ones by saying, "Don't send them away, let them come unto me." He took them into his lap, I suppose, at least close to him, laid his hands on them, and he said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven. If you're not willing to become like one of these, you can't even be in my kingdom." Quite an important statement. I want us to think about two things tonight. Number one, let's think about the childish things that we need to put away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but now that I've become a man, he says, I've put away childish things. What are some of those things that we need to put away? And particularly as some of you are at a point in life where you're going to have to make more decisions than you've ever made before. What are some of the childish things that need to be put away? Well, he identifies one of them in the 14th chapter, the verse we read. He said, you need to put away childish understanding. I was a child, I understood like a child. But now I'm a man, I'm not to understand like a child. I believe he's saying there, young folks, that childishness is seen when we continue to live in ignorance. Now, ignorance is not stupidity. All of us do some stupid things. I could tell you some stupid things that I've done in my life. We all occasionally, because we don't think things through, do some things that are stupid. But ignorance simply means a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding of that knowledge. The Hebrew writer in the 5th chapter said, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need that somebody teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And you're become such as are in need of milk and not of strong meats. He said, as a person grows older physically, if he doesn't grow older mentally and doesn't develop in his understanding and overcome some of that ignorance, lack of information that's there as a child, that it's a problem. It is childish to continue to be ignorant. In the second place, I suggest to you that it is childish to be selfish. And yet, the idea of looking out for number one is almost the number one idea presented in many of the self-help books today. Look out for yourself. You don't live in a community like this. You don't live among people just like we are in this audience tonight and be very successful if you have a selfish attitude. You can't live with a gimme gimme here and a gimme gimme there. Old MacDonald didn't even get along with that. Selfishness is... is a childish trait. Little ones like to run and say, "He done it." And for you English teachers, I do know the difference. He's the one who did it. And you tell on someone for what they did. And sometimes as we grow older, we're like that. We like to be the one who can report on something first and tell something about somebody. There may be times that information needs to be shared. But you do not gain friends and win friends and influence people by being a tattler. It's along with that idea of being a busybody in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. Envy, jealousy, is a childish quality. The wise man said in Proverbs at chapter 14, 30, that envy is rottenness of the bones. And it is easy when you're in the high school setting or elementary, and especially in the college, university setting, to have envy. Others make better grades, or others are able to make the ball team. Others seemingly get things that you wish you had. It is so easy, even for those of us that are a few years older, to look around us and want everything that everybody else has and live with envy and jealousy. And truly, it is a rottenness of the bones. I also believe that the tendency to blame others that we indicated a moment ago when we were talking about tattling is a childlike, a childish attitude. Learn to look at the situation, and instead of at least first of all trying to blame somebody else, look at what you have done or haven't done. Goes back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They wanted to blame somebody else. That's a childish approach to life itself. It seems that most children, at one time or another, have an attitude of discontent. Never satisfied, never pleased. And in the affluent society in which we live, there's a tendency as we get a little older to always be wanting something, even at the Christmas tree, get all these things, but there's one thing we wanted, and we're discontent because we did not get that. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You and I can't have everything. And it's childish to be with an attitude of being discontented. And perhaps the greatest trait that is involved in growing up that we need to cast aside lest we be childish is the trait of irresponsibility. Have you noticed how many times we try to explain what's happened away? I was abused as a child, and therefore that's why I have done what I did. Or we bring in other factors. Even in Bible times, it's not easy to find someone who just simply came out and said, I've sinned. Prodigal son did eventually, but not early on. And David did eventually, after Nathan sort of hit him between the eyes with the whole situation and said, thou art the man. It's not easy to find biblical examples of people who said, I have sinned. I'm ready to accept my responsibility. There will be a tendency, if you do not make the grade that you want, to blame the teacher. But most of the time, we get what we deserve. There will be a tendency to say somebody else is the one who did it. And maybe even though you're away from home, you're ready to place blame on your parents or responsibility on them, and maybe put all financial responsibility on them and never care about turning a hand yourself. And many times expect the teacher to be responsible for pushing everything into your mind instead of accepting some responsibility yourself. That's childish. We need to grow up. And we need to put away the childish qualities of ignorance and selfishness, tattling, envy, jealousy, blaming others, discontent, and irresponsibility. There's a second side of this, and I really like to talk about it better than the other side. And that is that though we need to be careful to outgrow, maybe we magnify ourselves in them and we mature in them, but we never outgrow. And I think that's what he was saying, particularly here in 14:20, where he said, don't be a child in understanding, but then he turned right around and said, howbeit, in malice, be ye like a child. In other words, don't ever hold a grudge. You ever had the experience of seeing some little boys and girls just fighting like cats and dogs? Maybe even pulling hair? And about 5 minutes later, they're right back there playing together and don't even remember that they were fighting. They don't hold grudges. Too many of us, as we begin to grow older, are somewhat like the situation where the man said to the other, I don't like to get in an argument with my wife because she's too historical. And he said, you mean hysterical? He said, no, I mean historical. When we get in an argument, she brings up everything I've ever done since we've been married. Now, I'm going to tell you something, young folks. If you make a list, whether it's on paper or mentally, of all the things that you don't like that happen between you and others in your relationship with others, you're going to have a notebook full. And you're not going to have many friends if you grow up to hold a grudge and to fill your heart with malice. We need to be like a child. I think of the quality of innocence. Oh, there isn't anything more beautiful than a little baby. You know that little baby is just as innocent as it can be and just as safe in the arms of Jesus as it can be. Is there to be trained and brought up in the right way. And there is an element of that innocence that ought to stay with us as long as we live. 1 Peter 2:1 says, put away malice, and verse 2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word as newborn babes in Christ. He said there is a sense in which we need to keep that quality of innocence, goodness, sweetness, as long as we live. In addition, I suggest to you that we need to keep the childlike quality of happiness. If you keep a child, a baby, fed and changed, usually that baby is going to be happy. Someone has said that 1 Corinthians 15 gives us a scripture for having a nursery. It says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. But if you keep a baby fed and changed, and as that little baby grows into those childlike years, those earlier years, even considering the terrible twos, if you treat that child right and his basic needs are met, he's usually going to be basically happy. He's not old enough to be worrying about things. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be like that as we get older? Philippians 4:4 talks about having an attitude of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Sometimes that rejoicing may be over tears. We have some folks right now in the congregation here that are very sick. We have a lot of things that happen that bring tears, but even in times of tears, for those who are Christians and have the right relationship with God and with family and with friends, there can be an attitude of happiness. And we ought not to ever outgrow that. Continue to be childlike with an attitude of sympathy and empathy. I believe the distinction of those two is having feelings toward people sometimes when we've experienced those feelings, and other times even when we've not experienced them, we care, we have concern. You let four little boys be playing out in the yard and one of them stumps his toe and all four of them will come to the house crying. Two of them carrying or maybe dragging the one that stumped his toe. And when first aid is rendered and he's feeling better, they're all feeling better. They sympathize with each other. And what happens so many times as we begin to get a little older, and young people, those of you of college age, you're at that point where you can allow yourself to become so involved in getting an education that you forget people. So involved in the things that are important, yes. That you forget to care about your roommate or your sweet mate or the one that's on your team or the one that's in your class who may be hurting. And there are just not many things important enough to keep us from caring when people are hurting. Oh, that we could be like the little ones in that way. Faith and trust, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. How many of our little babies and our little boys and girls that are even here tonight would literally jump off a cliff if dad or mother was there with outstretched arms and said, come to me? And do we not need to keep that kind of faith and trust in our Father in heaven as we get older, that we have a faith that is not shaken, not a blind faith, a faith based upon the Word of God, and a trust that's developed because we believe the statement of Jesus, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, if we could just continue to have that faith and trust that our little ones have, especially in dad and mom and those that they know love them, we never outgrow that, the need for it. And then there are two that I've saved to last on this point because I believe they may be more important than all of these others. One of them is that we need to keep the childlike attitude of not being prejudiced. Child doesn't know how to be prejudiced until he's taught. you see a group of children at school in the lower grades, and you look at them, and there are boys and girls playing together. A little later, that sort of changes, and then a little later, changes back. And you look at them, and there's a little white child, a little black child, maybe someone that is Oriental, and they're all right out there playing together. They go into class, they sit together. Years ago, I visited in Brazil, where Brother F.H. Gage preaches, the one that spoke for us this morning. I came away impressed with several things, but one of the things that Judy and I have talked about so much down through the years since that time is that everybody in Brazil seemed to be colorblind. You never heard anybody, you never even saw anything that indicated that anybody ever looked at a person to see what color they were. That's the way Christians ought to be. We ought to accept each other as individuals, as God's creatures. We're different. And that's not always bad. I'm sort of glad that God made us male and female. I'm sort of glad that we are different in different ways. But folks, we need that childlike attitude of never being prejudiced and ready to give anybody the benefit of the doubt and ready to accept a person for who he is. Jesus did. He didn't make a distinction of people. He was not a respecter of persons in that sense. And so I suggest to you that we need to be childlike in that we have no prejudice. And then the other of these last two that I believe is so important is that we need to be childlike in the attitude of forgiveness. Now, I'm going to tell you something, young folks. As wonderful as I believe the people are here in Henderson, there are not many of us left that are perfect. Just not many of us at all. I told someone one time I would not want to move into a perfect congregation because when I got there, it would be imperfect. And I'll guarantee you that there will be some things about the preaching that you won't like. There may be some things about the singing. Even though I believe we have one of the best song leaders and others that can lead singing, there may be something about the classes at school that you won't like. There may be something about the classes out in high school or junior high that you won't like. We are not perfect people. We're going to make mistakes. But we need to emphasize that attitude in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We need an attitude of forgiveness. Now, I know as you study, you need a good memory, but you're going to need a good forgettery, too. I don't even know how to spell that one. You're going to need to be able to forget some things and forgive. And when you forgive, put it behind you and go forward. That's a childlike attitude. A few minutes ago, talking about how a child can be upset, even fighting, and then a little bit later, it's all gone, it's all forgiven. When our Father in heaven forgives us, he wipes the slate clean as though it had never happened. And we're to be like he is in that attitude of forgiveness. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We need to put away childish things. But there are some things that we see with our little boys and girls that we ought to just keep and hold on to and use those qualities to grow up in maturity, because those qualities, these last ones that I have discussed particularly, are qualities that are never out of place. Whether you're one day old or 100 years old. So really the question tonight is, childlike to be or not to be? If you're talking about these childish traits that the Bible says get out of them as you get older, let's put them away. But if we're talking about those qualities that will help us to be more Christ-like and more involved in being converted and becoming as little children in order to be in the kingdom of heaven and serve God, let's hold on to them and let's keep them. Let's put away what is a problem. Let's hold on to what is good. And let's just keep on maturing every day, whatever age you are, and carry those childlike qualities with us into adulthood and mature to be more Christ-like. I believe if we can put away childish things and live in childlike qualities, that we will be more like Christ. And that's what it's about. except you be converted and become as little children, you'll not be in the kingdom of heaven. Have you become childlike in that sense? Have you humbled yourself before God, expressing your belief and willingness to repent, confessed his name, been buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins? And if you have gone astray and made a mistake that's public and needs to be cared for publicly, are you willing to come back and humble yourself as a little child before the Father who is ready to forgive? I'll guarantee you he'll forgive if you're willing to be childlike in that sense. Be childlike in true obedience, even now, as together we stand and sing.
What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy